हरिः ॐ सहनववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवसरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
श्री चैतन्य चरितमृत Madhya Lila, Chapter 13, The Ecstatic Dancing of the Lord at Rath Yatra. Verse 213, 188, 194. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya continued, I shall submit your petition when there is an opportune moment. It will then be easy for you to come and meet the Lord. After circumambulating Jagannath, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went behind the car and began pushing it with his head. As soon as he pushed, the car immediately started to move, making a rattling sound. The people all around began to chant the holy name of the Lord, Hari, Hari. As the car began to move, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took his personal associates in front of the cars, occupied by Lord Balarama Subhadra, the goddess of fortune. Greatly inspired, he then began to dance in front of them. After finishing the dance before Lord Baladev and Subhadra, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came before Lord Jagannath's cart. Upon seeing Lord Jagannath, he began to dance again. When they reached the place called Balagandhi, Lord Jagannath stopped his car and began to look left and right. On the left side, Lord Jagannath saw a neighborhood of Brahmins and a coconut tree grove. On the right side, he saw nice flower gardens resembling those in the holy place of Vrindavan. Srila Prabhupada, Vipra Sashana is a word generally used in the Orissa province to indicate the quarters where Brahmanas live. 213-195-206 Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees were dancing in front of the car, and Lord Jagannath, having stopped the car, watched the dancing. It was customary that food be offered to the Lord at Vipra Sashana. Indeed, innumerable dishes of food were offered, and Lord Jagannath tasted each one of them. All kinds of devotees of Lord Jagannath, from neophytes to the most advanced, offered their best cooked food to the Lord. These devotees included the king, his queens, his ministers and friends, and all other big and small residents of Jagannath Puri. All the visitors who had come from different countries to Jagannath Puri, as well as the local devotees, offered their personally cooked food to the Lord. The devotees offered their food everywhere, in front of the car and behind it, on the two sides and within the flower garden. Wherever possible, they made the offerings to the Lord, for there were no hard and fast rules. Like that, they still follow that today? They stop there and everybody offers food? No? Yeah. No? No?
I would highly doubt that they still.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu entered the garden and, immersed in great ecstatic emotion, fell flat on a raised platform there. The Lord was very much fatigued from the hard labor of dancing, and there was perspiration all over his body. He therefore enjoyed the fragrant, cool breeze of the garden. All the devotees who had been performing Sankirtan came there and took rest under each and every tree. Thus I have described the great performance of congregational chanting by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as he danced in front of Lord Jagannath. In his prayer known as the Chaitanyastika, Srila Rupa Goswami has given a vivid description of the Lord's dancing before the car of Jagannath. Srila Prabhupada. Srila Rupa Goswami composed three prayers with the title Chaitanyastika. The verse next quoted is text 7 from the first of the Chaitanyastika prayers, which are included in the book Stavamala. 213, 207, 209. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced down the main road in great ecstasy before Lord Jagannath, the master of Neelachala, who was sitting on his car. Overwhelmed by the transcendental bliss of dancing and surrounded by Vaishnavas who sang the holy names, he manifested waves of ecstatic love of Godhead. When will Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again be visible to my vision? Oh, this is that prayer, set of prayers. Anyone who hears this description of the car festival will attain Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He will also attain the elevated state by which he will have firm conviction in devotional service and love of Godhead. Praying at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Sri Raghunath, always desiring their mercy, I, Krishna Das, narrate Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, following in their footsteps. Conclusion. Only when the mind is free of designations can one desire the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. 138 purport?
This chapter, Maharaj, so only the verse name is mentioned. Verse number 138.
Oh, okay. Verse 1. Because it's also chapter 13, so it could be 13.8. The mind must have some occupation. If a person is to be free of material things, right? So that's the point, is if you're giving up material designations and identities, that means then you're busy in something connected with the Lord. Right? If a person is to be free of material things, his mind cannot be vacant. There must be subject matter for thinking, feeling, and willing. Unless one's mind is filled with thoughts of Krishna, feelings for Krishna, and a desire to serve Krishna, the mind will be filled with material activities. Those who have given up all material activities and have ceased thinking of them should always retain the ambition to think of Krishna. 138 purport.
So, Maharaj, can we say that the material desire is the main problem?
Main problem. But material desire is there because we identify. Right? Because it's where you identify, that's where. So that's why you pointed out the first one is free from material designations. So when you have the designation, yes, the desire is in connection with the designation.
Yes. Yes.
You know, if I think I'm a rich man, then the desire will be there.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Or even if he thinks, I wish I were a rich man. Right? Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Or no, it's not. I wish I was, if I were a rich man.
That's the
how it goes. Yeah. Fiddler on the Roof?
Yeah.
No?
I don't know.
No?
We used to have elocutions by that title always in schools. If I were the Prime Minister, if I were the...
Yeah, just so many designations. We may have started something here. So when he gets up and starts dancing.
Next level.
So this is connected together here. Let's see here. There's probably revealing this thing is that you have the identification and then all the samskaras you're going to see in that context. Right? Because we're going to have samskaras from previous lifetimes where we want to enjoy ourselves and everything like that. Then we come into this body, and then the situations we're in here, that's where we're going to express it. Right? And then accumulated things from this lifetime then are added onto the pile. And so then there's always that idea of that, you know, thoughts of Krishna, feelings for Krishna, desire to serve Krishna. So that means the material thoughts, you know, like that, the feelings for these material things, the desire for these material things. So then it's a matter of switching that to Krishna. So then that's what qualifies one to be an associate of Krishna. Right? Because that's the important thing. Because it's not the situation. It's ourself. That's why you can have ourselves in the temple during kirtan and we can think of something else. Right? And, you know, just as a random example. And Prahlad Maharaj can be sitting there, in a pot of boiling oil and that, and thinking of the Lord, and he's perfectly fine. So that's the point, is it's not situational. Now, the situations can help. By the situations, we connect different things to it. So when you have something that's peaceful or something that's grand or something that's aesthetic or these things, then it brings the mind more towards those aspects. That's why you see his temples are nice and grand and everything like that. So why in some of these modern things they try to get rid of all that somehow or another, not very...
Only Protestants.
Yeah, Protestants. But, they're the ones that kind of...
Problems.
Yes, they're quite prominent, you could say, because the others have regulation, more regulation in their life. The Protestants don't have any regulation. They've removed it all.
They're prominent in America?
Yeah, I think most are that.
Really?
Yeah. But even England, I think it's the Anglo-Saxons. That's their trip. So the thing comes up is that all these things help, but they're not actually the cause of it. Like that, still, you have to do what you're going to think about in these things. Right? So here is that, then, that the one's always filled with thoughts of Krishna, feelings for Krishna, desire to serve Krishna. And so then these things take there. So one has to identify then as a servant of Krishna, otherwise why would these be there? And that has to develop. So sadhana bhakti means that you associate with those who are advanced, you always hear and chant about Krishna, then you develop, gradually, step by step, because we see the faith is transforming as you move to each level, right? Until it transforms into prema. Right? So, but it's still, you have to, it's something that you have to be aware of, that it's just not an automatic thing, because you won't think, oh, if I'm in this situation, it'll automatically happen. Like some think, oh, if I move to Mayapur, then automatically it'll happen.
Yes.
No, it means you can, if you take advantage, then it's a great benefit, like that. But at the same time, as you have to actually have that desire, thoughts of Krishna, feelings for Krishna, desire to serve Krishna, then it will move forward. The mind's activities are thinking, feeling, willing, by which the mind accepts materially favorable things and rejects the unfavorable. This is the consciousness of people in general. But when one's mind does not accept and reject, but simply becomes fixed on the lotus feet of Krishna, then one's mind becomes as good as Vrindavan. Right? So then the mind is that place. Then becomes the transcendental place. So that's the point when we see is that... But when one does not accept and reject, means on this material platform, simply becomes fixed on the lotus feet, then it becomes as good as Vrindavan. So by mercy of Lord Nityananda Prabhu, right? Then all material desire goes, and then one appreciates the Dham. Because why? Because then the mind becomes like Vrindavan. Right? Because Krishna is in Vrindavan. So if in the mind you're always thinking of Krishna, then the mind is not different from Vrindavan. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Can you say that the spiritual aspect of acceptance and rejection is what's favorable and what's not favorable? In other words, on the spiritual platform, you take what's favorable.
You may take what's favorable for serving Krishna. I mean, that's going to point. The point is, always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. So always remember Krishna means you're accepting whatever is favorable to remember Krishna. Always never forget means you're rejecting anything that makes you forget. So the actual vidhi of that direct service is what is favorable to serve Krishna, and the nisheds are what is not favorable. Right? And so if that one takes that, so what something that may be favorable today may not be tomorrow.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
It's just like, let's say, I think it was, Prabhupada had mentioned about the brahmacharis, eating lots of halava. Right? So when they're new, then it very much absorbs their mind and that. They eat lots of halava, they get very enthusiastic, they go to the kirtan, and like this. But then after some time, then it's not so favorable, because then you eat so much, you're tired. This, that. So then you start eating less, because now that's favorable for remembering Krishna. So the point is vidhi is coming out of what is useful in advancing in Krishna consciousness. And so it's there to give that guidance that you follow this and move up. We don't make up our own. We're choosing from what's already been given to us by the acharyas. Right? It's not that, oh, vidhi doesn't matter, so I can make up my own. No. It means these rules are there to ensure that we're able to move through the process. Right? And so that's how you look at it. And then you'll see. You know, it's just like now. You can't move around and all that, so then you absorb yourself in doing things. You know, you might sit in your room, you do a lot of reading or chanting or this and that, or, you know, associate with only a few people and that. But then, if it's in a situation that's different, that might not be as favorable. You know? You have the temple full of devotees and you just sit in your room. No, then you go out and you assess it like that. So, it has to be seen as that you have to, you know, always be looking at what is best, what's developing. And we do that in the association of those who are more advanced, so then we get a better idea. Right? So,
the point I wanted to make is accepting and rejecting is a function of the mind.
Yes.
Accepting what's favorable, rejecting what's unfavorable is a function of vidhi.
Means no. Well, here saying means if it's connected to Krishna.
Yes,
otherwise, sense gratification, you accept what's favorable for sense gratification, give up.
Precisely about Krishna.
Yes, when it's about Krishna, then yes, because that's where vidhi comes from. Like that, because the natural thing will be you have that spontaneity, right? Spontaneity means that where very naturally and completely absorbed. You're attached to something. Right? It doesn't require the intelligence. It's just that very spontaneously you're attracted to something. So we see in the material world, sense gratification, people are very, very spontaneous. They're very much on the platform of rag, right? Like that. You know, it's just what they do. So therefore, we see, you know, the acharyas point out that therefore in the material world, it's very rare you find someone has that rag towards Krishna, that kind of natural, spontaneous attraction to Krishna. So therefore, then that gives rise to, okay, so what is favorable and what's not favorable? That's where vaidhi bhakti comes from. Right? Means we're going to be practicing sadhana. But the point is the vaidhi aspect becomes because we don't know what's right and what's wrong. We wouldn't have a clue. You know, even applying it into the field of sense gratification, we don't necessarily know what's good and what's not good. You know, like that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So then we learn from the acharyas, we learn from the scriptures, the acharyas give so many aspects of what's devotional service, right? You know, it's like, I think we're coming up at some point, I'm not sure where it is, in Bhakti Sandarbha, then Jiva Goswami takes all the devotional practices and puts them into 9 categories, like that. And then Rupa Goswami gives the 64 items, like this, and then of that, 5 remain. You know, and the essence of that 5 is always remember, never forget Krishna. That's what you're trying to do. Right? And so these things are then delineated by the acharyas so that we can make a proper choice and be properly engaged. Right? So, yeah. The mind's activities are thinking, feeling, and willing, by which the mind accepts materially favorable things and rejects the unfavorable. This is the consciousness of people in general. But when one's mind does not accept and reject, but simply becomes fixed on the lotus feet of Krishna, then one's mind becomes as good as Vrindavan. Wherever Krishna is, there are also Srimati Radharani, the gopis, the coward boys, and all other inhabitants of Vrindavan. Right? So as you purify the mind and becomes more fixed on Krishna, then it comes that when the mind becomes like Vrindavan, then also it means Krishna and his associates are there. Because otherwise, as we're purifying, we tend to think more about, you know, this is the rules and we should do this and that. Though maybe focused on Krishna, but also maybe may not be as spontaneous in that absorption in Krishna, So it'll take on the aspect of it'll be more because he's the supreme rather than the aspect of that natural attraction. But as it gets more and more purified, then we see that natural attraction that can become much more prominent. Right? So then it becomes, you know, the name, the form, the qualities, then the pastimes. So then Krishna is always there with his associates. Right?
It seems, Maharaj, that when we appreciate more Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and the associate, Krishna consciousness takes another dimension. It's multiply the relationship or the understanding, the consciousness.
Yes. Because it's like anything. Anything that attracts the attention, it takes up more space in your thought process.
Yes.
So as soon as it's Krishna becomes the main thing, then we become more absorbed there. But that's enlivening, while these other things are less enlivening.
Yes.
You know, they have the... Because all you're ever doing is creating another situation.
Yes.
Means, I'm inspired, okay, let me get some money. So I'm inspired to get money, it's a situation. Or get a house, it's a situation. Or go on a vacation, it's a situation. Or get some food, it's in a situation. So that's all we're doing, is just creating newer and newer situations. We perform activities to get a situation. In that situation, we perform activities that we transform and improve the quality of the situation. Right? So that's the thing, is we never get ananda, because we never get out of the first two sambandha, the sandini and sambit. You know, there's so-called material pleasure. Material pleasure is having gained a thing, and then it becomes the situation again.
Yes.
Right? So that's all we're doing. But in the spiritual world, then you have that aspect of, because it's absorbed with Krishna and the devotees, then that happiness, that's not just a situation. That's that taste, that interaction, the relationships. It's so much more rich. There is situation, because there's Vrindavan. It's a glorious position. But then you add those, and now those start becoming the situation. Krishna and his pastimes and these different things, the loving exchanges with the devotees, that becomes the basis, the sambandha on which you're thinking. Does that make sense? So then the thinking, feeling, willing then is working there. Yes.
I'm not sure about others, but at least for the Russian-speaking devotees, we've noticed that because one of the Mahavakyas of communists was existence defines consciousness. So this is why many think that changing situation means automatically, as you explained, everything's gonna change. Because it's really deep in the mind. But actually, if we think about it, You can be independent, like you mentioned, Prahlad Maharaj or Haridas Thakur.
Right.
They, in their own mental so-called space.
Yes.
And they are with Krishna, but situationally they are not as favorable.
Yes.
But it is there, it's very deep, so to get it out,
yes,
it takes a lot of effort, actually.
Yes. But the point is if they make it favorable, the situational, according to what the acharyas recommend, then it can be progressive, it can be helpful.
Yeah.
But it's not the situation that generates it. It's that in a situation you can do something. You know, generally speaking, let's say if you go into a kitchen, then if you have an identity as a cook, then you like to cook, or look at things, talk about things and that. But if you go into a kitchen and you're not a cook, then, you tend to go somewhere else. So there has to be that identity within it. Because they're leaving out the living entity there, the individual, the free will, because that's the whole point of the communism, is that free will is not an important thing. You just do what's is good for the state. But who says what's good for the state? The state, not the people.
Yes.
Yeah. So, which is not actually part of the thing, because what is it that what's that famous thing? Everyone according to their ability, everyone according to their need. Isn't there something like that? That's a very major thing. Maybe it's slightly worded differently.
Yeah, it's a bit different.
But it means you get according to your need, and everybody works for the system according to their ability.
Yes.
Right. But the thing is...
Equal.
Sorry?
But everybody's equal.
Yeah, but everybody's equal. But the thing is who's deciding what you need and what you can do?
The system.
Yeah, that's the system. So that's the funny part, that wasn't worked out by that, you know, that guy with too much hair sitting in his room. Yeah. Yeah,
they
ridiculous. You know, just it's not even like they comb it or anything. Just, you know, it's like.
Because he was too much thinking, you know.
Thinking. It's the electrical going, then as all his hairs goes. Yeah. So then the problem is they're just thinking automatically everybody will do the right thing. But the point is everybody's not Brahmins. Right? Maybe he, if he had a room full of himself, then he might, you know, do like that. But the point is he doesn't have a room full of himself. He's just full of himself. So then he comes up with these programs. Right? And then, so you get these things. And what I always find is very laughable is this is taking liberalness to its extreme. You know? Which is like that, you know, it's like, yeah. So, then, so, but the point is we're an individual. And yes, you arrange things nicely, but you as an individual have to apply yourself in that situation because it's thinking, feeling, and willing. Right? Because the other thing in these others, you mentioned the communist state, you don't really think, you don't really feel, you don't really desire. You know, these things are just not cool. Right?
Yeah.
You know.
Just do what you do.
You just exist, right? The point is existence is, what do you say? Creates.
Existence defines consciousness.
Yes.
It means whenever you exist, that's where your consciousness is.
Yes. I mean, you do have that you're affected by.
Yeah.
But, you know, a good association, then you tend to go up. Bad association, you go down. So it does have some bit of truth to it. But here it's kind of like the motive is just, you just exist. And that's all. You know. What is it?
It's enough trouble that somebody exists.
What do you call it? Third Constructor's Street? No?
Yeah.
No?
Takes time to understand.
Takes time to understand. Okay.
What's
it? What is it? Seven? Was it seventh floor? Seventh floor, apartment 25, right? Or 22?
English. They translate into English.
Yeah. Yeah. I get everything.
Half of the things probably doesn't make any sense.
That one of the best lines was thin soles. You know, on the shoes. They're out there trying to go. They're trying to find fault in each other. Thin soles. Your feet are going to freeze. Okay. Sorry, it's a very elevated topic.
Not shared by everyone.
No. Wherever Krishna is, there are also Srimati Radharani, the gopis, the coward boys, and all other inhabitants of Vrindavan. Thus, as soon as one fixes Krishna in his mind becomes identical with Vrindavan. Because Vrindavan is where Krishna's pastimes are going on. So that's the point, is that you're absorbed there, and then you're on the platform of a transcendental platform on Ananda. And so one is tasting these things. In other words, when one's mind is completely free from all material desires and is engaged only in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then one always lives in Vrindavan and nowhere else. 137 per point. Right. So that's the whole point what we're trying to get to. We see is here Lord Chaitanya in his pastimes, that's what he's doing, his associates. Because there is no material desire, it's always about Krishna. And that's why we see Lord Chaitanya then performs that aspect of that pastime to show the devotees, be very careful of materialists. Because then in that situation, the mind can get distracted. Like that. So one can be transcendental to the situation, but one has to be careful that one's not affected by the situation. The gopis were never interested in karma yoga, jnana yoga, or dhyana yoga. They were simply interested in bhakti yoga. The gopis wanted to keep Krishna at home, always, and in this way their minds were absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Such pure Krishna consciousness can arise only in Vrindavan, 136 purport. Because it's just about Krishna. No karma, no jnana, no dhyana. It's just devotion to Krishna. Because they're not just meditating on Krishna. They always are thoughts of Krishna, feelings for Krishna, desire to serve Krishna. Because in meditation, there's no service other than you're thinking of. Like that. Does that make sense? It means in the mind, yeah, you can do service. But in the mind, you're doing service. But they want to actually do the practical service. So so it's not dhyana yoga like that, which is not static, right? But devotional service, remembrance of the Lord, that's dynamic, because then it's practical services and these things like that.
Does that make interesting when you think about it? Because what you mentioned in terms of meditation is shantaras. So you say you can serve Krishna in your mind.
Yes.
But there may not be reciprocation. Whereas if you serve directly, there is reciprocation. Therefore, there is room for remembering and reciprocation.
Yes. Yeah, it means these tastes. It'll be increased. The point is, if you're connecting anything with Krishna, it's wonderful. So that's why you see as you're starting off with the aspects of whatever work you're already doing, the situations around you, your values and all that, they're all connected to Krishna. And by that, you're becoming purified and coming closer to Krishna. And becoming more and more absorbed. But at the same time, is that we see that then there's so as a step, it's there, but then with time, then knowledge and detachment are there. And so then jnana yoga becomes more prominent. Where it's about being detached from the material things and not being engaged and just being connected to Krishna. Then you get to the point of jnana yoga where you're just meditating on Krishna and this and that. But here is that unless you have these thoughts, feelings, and desire to serve, then that's when it takes on that dynamic aspect of bhakti, right? So remember we were saying about the three kinds of sadhakas, right? You have the one with faith, the one that's fixed, and the one with taste. So when one heart is purified, then one gets fixed, so that's intensified by desire. That's where it becomes taste. If you're fixed in devotional service, because then you don't have you know, the material desire is not the prominent feature. But then when it's intensified by being absorbed in how to please Krishna, serve Krishna, then that's what brings about taste. No? Yeah, because the desire aspect is important. Right? Because the willing means then there's that desire to do. Right? Because that means thinking of Krishna, thoughts of Krishna, feeling for Krishna, and willing, desire to serve Krishna. Then you do things. So, we're saying meditation, the thinking of Krishna, and so it's connected to Krishna, it's going to be good. Then, like you're saying, the Shanta Bhaktis, they have Rati. So they're absorbed in Krishna and all that, but they're, you know, it's about how many wonderful things Krishna is doing, and they're appreciating what others are doing. You know, or even if they interact, just how nicely Krishna is and his qualities and all these wonderful things. So it has that transcendental ecstatic position. So it's fine. But then we see the gopis, they wanted to go then into the things, they just wanted to keep Krishna at home, do services and everything like that. Does that make sense?
What comes first, taste or desire?
you said chicken or the egg, I could give you an answer. Taste or desire. As it mentions, when it's nishta intensified by desire, transcendental desire, that gives you taste. Because how will you have taste if there's no desire? Does that make sense? So, by association, then you also see others with taste, or others who have that desire, and we're inspired. So that inspires within us by association. So you associate with those who have that kind of thing. That's the important. So, yeah. The process of mystic yoga, the speculative method for searching out the Supreme Absolute Truth, does not appeal to one who is always absorbed in thoughts of Krishna. A devotee is not at all interested in speculative activities. Instead of cultivating speculative knowledge or practicing mystic yoga, a devotee should worship the deity in the temple and continuously engage in the Lord's service. 139 per 4. It's practical, it's direct, because it's one of the five main direct activities. For a pure devotee, there is no scope for indulgence in mystic yoga practice or the cultivation of speculative philosophy. It is indeed impossible for a pure devotee to engage his mind in such unwanted activities. Even if a pure devotee wanted to, his mind would not allow him to do so. That is the characteristic of a pure devotee. He is transcendental to all fruit of activity, speculative philosophy, and mystic yoga meditation. Because they just don't appeal, because they're not dynamic. Because the important thing is activity. Then it's connected to Krishna. The intellectual activity, that's then you connected to Krishna. Or meditation, that you connect to Krishna. Because you see, as dhyana is there, then there's meditation on the Lord. Right? Or so they say dharana. The focus is there. Then you add the Lord. So but we see with the gopis, they're thinking of the Lord, therefore they don't have to worry about dharana and everything else. All those other things are to get you to that point.
But if you're already meditating, you are meditating on the Lord. In what sense you add it?
Means, in the Asanga Yoga system, it was discussing about the two levels, Yoga Rudha and Yoga Ruruksu. Mm-hmm. Right? So I think Yoga Ruruksu, that's the first six. I kind of remember.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. So that means you're, you know, doing things that are favorable, not favorable, finding proper sitting places like that, controlling the breathing, because that's what the mind works on the life airs. It's stable or not, depending on that. Then, when it becomes stable, you pull in the senses. All right? When the senses are pulled in, now you can focus the mind. Example is given like you ever pour honey? You know, it comes out of a wide mouth, because, you know, jar. When it comes out, it's very wide. So you think, oh, so much is going to go. But then it immediately goes down into a super fine point. Right? So it comes out like that. So that's dharana. When it's on that one point, then you stick Krishna there. Right? Then that becomes jhana. Then when that deepens, that's samadhi. So only dhyana and samadhi, those are yoga rudha. Those are the advanced stages. The other ones, that's the beginning stages, yeah, preliminary. So you're trying to get to that. But for the devotee, then it's always about Krishna himself. It's just a matter of when that intensifies, where one has that position. But you're always beginning with that, because the yogi may or may not get to that position of meditation on Krishna. Because they get distracted by Yoga City, this, that, you know.
The devotees actually follow Ashtanga Yoga except for asana. They follow everything else except asana.
Then where is your backside? It's not on the chair?
Yeah, it's like, for example, devotees change japa walking around.
No, but they situate themselves. Asana means a situation. So they situate themselves there. And you'll see is when they walk in that specific space. You can walk on the other half of the thing. You can't walk on their half. So they're in asana.
And Prabhupada also said chanting japa is also coming out.
Yeah, because you regulate the breathing. because you're going to breathe and things like that. So that's the point, is all these things are in there, in devotion. Bhakti includes all these things. Just, it's not mechanical. The other one, because it's mechanical, then you think, oh, something's happening like this. You know, you start doing that. But, you know, for the devotional thing, you don't need all these things. Because the identity is with being a devotee. The problem with the yoga system, they identify with being a yogi. You know, then hence the beards, the yoga pants, the beads, you know. And nowadays the sweatpants, you know, like all that kind of jazz. That yoga mat, you know. Yoga mat's important. Yeah, I remember coming into one studio for a class and, you know, they're all laying down on the mat, you know, they're doing this. Yoga Nidra, you know, that's the new thing, is Yoga Nidra. Do you know Yoga Nidra? Yeah, we do that so much, we're trying to cut down on it, you know. We're trying to limit to 6 hours a day. You know, yoga nidra.
Also, Maharaj, Prabhupada said that asana is for those who are too much bodily conscious.
Yeah. Yes, so you just have to sit them down. You know, it's like a kid's going crazy. You sit them down. Then they, you know, become more peaceful and everything like that. Yeah. Devotee's mind... Did I finish the last sentence?
No.
That is character... Okay. That is the characteristic of a pure devotee. He is transcendental to all fruit of activity, speculative philosophy, and mystic yoga meditation. 140 purport. The devotee's mind and senses are already engaged in the transcendental service of the Lord. In this way, the poisonous effects of sensory activities are removed. If one's mind is always engaged in the service of the Lord, there is no possibility that one will think, feel, or act materially. In Vrindavan, the gopis, cowherd boys, and even the calves, cows, trees, and water are fully conscious of Krishna. They are never satisfied with anything but Krishna. Now, so you see here is that, you know, you're asking about the Shanta aspect, but here they're also absorbed completely like that. You know, they don't want to think of anything else but Krishna. Like that. So in these things, when we're comparing this, Shanta is on that side. We're talking about the yogis and the jnanis and the, you know, the great mystics and all. They're on this side. Okay. Chapter 14. Performance of the Vrindavan pastimes. Pratigya. If a person renders loving service to Krishna, it never goes in vain. Adhyaya Prakashika. Dressing himself as a Vaishnava, Maharaj Prataparudra entered the garden at Bagal Gandhi alone and began reciting verses from Srimad Bhagavatam. He then took the opportunity to massage the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Lord, in his ecstatic love for Krishna, immediately embraced the king and thus bestowed mercy upon him. When there was an offering of prasadam in the garden, Lord Chaitanya also partook of it. After this, when Lord Jagannath's cart stopped moving, King Prataparudra called for many elephants to pull it, but they were unsuccessful. Seeing this, Lord Chaitanya began to push the car from behind with his head, and the car began moving. Then the devotees began pulling the car with ropes. Near the Gundija temple is a place known as Aitota. This place was fixed up for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to rest in. When Lord Jagannath was seated and Sundarachala, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw it as Vrindavana. He performed sporting pastimes in the water of the lake known as Indradumna. For 9 continuous days during Ratha Yatra, the Lord remained at Sundarachala, and on the 5th day, he and Swarup Damodar observed the pastimes of Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune. During that time, there was much talk about the pastimes of the gopis. When the Ratha was again being drawn and the chanting resumed, 2 devotees from Kulinagram, Ramananda Vasu and Satyaraj Khan, were requested to bring silk ropes every year for the Ratha Yatra ceremony. So then, I guess, then the ropes would have been silk in those days, because it's very strong. Other things are good, but they won't be quite as strong.
So Maharaj, here when the devotees stop for 9 days in Sundarachala, it's different from Vandicha.
No, I think the whole situation is, Jagannath said Gundicha, but it may be the whole area or whatever. I don't know the exact what's called Sundarachala, what's called Gundicha, what's...
Okay. Which means it is at the end of the first going to Gundicha.
Yeah, it means then they're there, and then after that he comes back. So he has the Roth ceremony, then he stays there for so many days. Yes. Then he comes back. I was saying on the fifth day, then Lakshmi came. Like Harapancha. Yes,
Harapancha. Sundarachala is the place itself is called Sundarachala, which is compared to Vrindavan. Leelachala is like where the Blue Mountain where Lord Jagannath is residing normally, and Sundarachala is...
Oh, okay. Oh, Neelachal and Sundarachal. And within Sundarachal is Gundicha temple.
So it's the area.
Sundarachal is the area, yes. Shloka Nasharanam, verses 1 to 22. King Prataparudra recites the Gopi Gita to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. 23 to 46. The devotees honor Prasad in the garden near Balagandhi. Verses 47 to 65, Lord Chaitanya's devotees deliver Lord Jagannath to Gundicha. 66 to 105, 9 days of pastimes in the Jagannath Vallabha garden. 106 to 243, the Hara Panchami festival. 244 to 257, Lord Jagannath returns to Neelachal. Verses 1 to 22, King Prataparudra recites the Gopi Gita to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. 214-125. Accompanied by his personal associates, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to the festival known as Lakshmi Vijayotsava. There he discussed the super-excellent love of the gopis. Just by hearing about them, he became very pleased and danced in great ecstatic love for the Lord. Our glories to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, known as Gaurachandra. Our glories to Lord Nityananda Prabhu. Our glories to Advaita Acharya, who is so exalted. Our glories to all the devotees headed by Srivas Thakur. Our glories to the readers who have taken Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as their life and soul. While Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is resting in ecstatic love, Maharaj Prataparudra entered the garden. Following Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's instructions, the king had given up his royal dress. He now entered the garden in the dress of a Vaishnava. Srila Prabhupada. Sometimes members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, especially in the Western countries, find it difficult to approach people to distribute books because people are unfamiliar with the traditional saffron robes of the devotees. The devotees have therefore inquired whether they can wear European and American dress before the general public. From the instructions given to King Prataparudra by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, we can understand that we may change our dress in a way to facilitate our service. When our members change their dress to meet the public or to introduce our books, they are not breaking the devotional principles. The real principle is to spread the Krishna conscious movement. And if one has to change into regular Western dress for this purpose, there should be no objection. Like, so you see, in the aspect of service, then that's what is taken up. So that's the consideration. Right? It's not about us. It's about what is favorable for the service. As we mentioned before, the aspect of devotional service when you're dealing with the direct activities, you know, so preaching will be, you know, that direct activity of hearing and chanting about Krishna, then you're going to have is what's favorable for doing that. And so then in here there's that consideration. But it's very important where it's based on. It's based on what is good for the service. Right? That's the...
But it doesn't mention what you wrote. What is it, the dirty and the
chatters? Yeah. I doubt he showed up in a zoot suit or something, or a pair of sweatpants and, you know, one of those big chains, like that, with his hat on, you know, it's like, right? Yeah, you know, and then all the girls came in dancing, you know, the whole thing like that. And he did a whole rap. He rapped the Gopi Gita. No, he didn't do that. No.
Because Vaishnava, you know, this is a big argument and controversy from the Krishna West.
It's amongst, let us say, for those who don't have the experience or the faith, and don't think very deeply. In other words, they just parrot what the modern academy says. They don't think on their own. Is that you have the tradition, everybody then has these aspects. They try to say it has something to do with the Muslims, this and that. But you have these ancient paintings and that, they go back thousands of years. And that, and they always have Krishna and Adoti. All the four sampradayas have Krishna and Adoti and Chatur, the girls and you know the saris or the, you know like this, and that they all have like that. They're just saying this because that's what the previous comment was. It's for the service that you may wear the contemporary dress, not that oh we're Westerners, you know why would we wear Indian stuff? That's just a gross materialist. You know, we're being gracious here. So the whole point is that one has to understand is these things are already there, all the sampradayas and that. Who doesn't accept some of these Indologists? Have these Indologists been to India? Do they have any faith in it? No, that's their whole point. They're objective. They just look at the facts. But the problem is where did these facts come from? These facts came from other materialists with their imperfect senses, cheating propensity, illusion, and tendency to make mistakes, then they observe according to what is their samskaras and according to what will be accepted in the academy. Because it's not that the academy accepts facts, it only accepts what they're willing to accept in a way that they're, you know, that they're there. It's very straightforward. So then the difficulty comes down is that it's not there, because the point is okay, let us say you have in a university a department of Jewish studies. Who's running that? Some goy? Huh? No, they're all practicing Jews. What if you have an Islamic studies? Who's doing it?
Imam.
Yes, but if it's Indology, who's doing it? Anybody but someone who's a practicing. Because if you are, oh, then you're not this and that and all that. But the other ones, no. They leave it alone. So it was a department that was designed to break down the influence of the Indian culture. And then we're going to go in there and do the same thing. It's kind of like, hey, Kali Raj doesn't even have to look around for people to help. He says, "We're stepping forward, you know. You know, got my you know dancing shoes on. You know, come in, you know that slide. Yeah, we're here." So that's the whole point: is that they bring up these things, but they have it's who's it based on? Any Vaishnava, anything here? Everybody says the same thing. And then a handful of Indologists that have never even been to India, don't like India, have no interest in the culture, then they're the authority? There's something wrong with this institution. So if you want to base it on that, you can. Means we have to understand that staying in the material world is a very, you know, open option for all conditioned living entities. Going back to Godhead, that's the rare one. That you need that faith. You have to take. So if Prabhupada and the Acharyas have all said this, where is the question of it being a controversy? You have to have gross materialists for it to be a controversy. You have to have people with no faith to have a controversy. Prabhupada introduced it. We didn't know what it was. It wasn't that we went out and picked it up from this and that. Prabhupada introduced. You go to Vrindavan, they go. You go to any seat of Vaishnava practice, and they all wear this. And you go back, it's described in that. Just because the academics don't have enough vocabulary to figure out the words, don't know enough of all these things, don't have enough of the tradition, because they work just on the literal, you know, exact words. And that if it doesn't match what they say, then it's not what they say. You know, what about the poetics? What about all these other things like that? So what about the culture, the values, how people refer to things? You know? So that's the whole point, is that
actually controversy is based on presenting argument.
Arguments.
It's presenting arguments with no intention to find a conclusion.
No. The point is what's the conclusion? I don't have to wear, you know, the clothes that we, you know, will call devotional clothes. We'll come up with all things. Oh, that's just what everybody. See, that's one of the things. Oh, that's what everybody wore. So it's not devotional. Just the Brahmins. Everybody wore this. So it's not specifically devotional. So it's not Vaishnav Chinna. It's not the markings of Vaishnavs, right? You know, the tilak may be, neck beads may, but the dhoti and chadar. No, that's just everybody in Varnashram wore it. So he said like that. But then we take the next step. Therefore, we don't have to do this and that. And so then it's not devotional. But the point is it's the culture. It's the spiritual culture. And Srila Prabhupada introduced that. Otherwise, where did devotees get all that? You look at those old pictures in the, you know, early 60s, 66, 67, 68. Oh, the dhotis, the chadars, they generally, much of the time, didn't wear sewn cloth. Turbans, utardias, you know, just the whole thing. They wore so much more of the traditional things then when Prabhupada was there and personally with them than later. Like that. So they can do that and use their own, you know, how you say, modern academic acharyas to make their points and all that and maintain, but that was the first point that he made there. That was a subtle point here, is that only when the mind is free from designations can one desire the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So at some point, if they want to advance in devotional service and get off and get onto the platform of Shraddha, where they can advance, you know, off the Agyata Sukriti platform, then they got to give up that we're Westerners, we can't do this. That's the fun part, is they're thinking they're advancing. But they're introducing things that are directly opposed to devotional service. It's not supported by any, you know, us, any sampradaya would not agree with them. They're attached to wearing their Western clothes, they identify. We don't mind. We don't care. Like that. What do we care? There's so many people, you know, that they're interested, they come around, they chant a bit, but they wear their clothes. Like that. Generally, if they introduce a little something, maybe they'll put a chadar on their shoulder. I've seen that guys come to, you know, with suits and all that, and with a chadar on their shoulder. And they're very happy. They're doing something, they're doing something close to, you know, the devotees. So they look at it like that. But this thing is, no, you don't want to do that. Even if they do, no, don't do that and this and that, then it's just a new party. But, you know, them being Westerners and that's a party. It's just cheating. It's just straight up front cheating. It has nothing to do with devotional service. That they're chanting, they're taking prasad, doing kirtan, this is very nice. You know, associating with devotees, this is all nice stuff. But for their own attachments to their Western lifestyle, then to make up a philosophy, this is completely unnecessary.
It's interesting because all the, you know, even the Kundalini wear something.
Everybody wears.
Yogananda. They all wear.
They all wear. I mean, it's like, oh, we can't do this. You know, we go to Karmi clothes to the yoga studio for the kirtan. And then the guys that come over from India to do the kirtan, what are they wearing? You know, their orange cloth, their chadars, you know, the whole thing, their beads, everything. And everybody's cool with that. You know, so we make up excuse why we can't do that. We have to give that up. We're attached. Recognize it. I'm attached. I feel uncomfortable wearing these clothes. When I walk down the street, I feel funny. Then don't wear them. But don't make a philosophy that you're the same as someone else who doesn't have that problem, who doesn't have, is not overwhelmed by upadis. Or at least, you have to understand that, you know, an upadi within the Vedic culture is going to be a better upadi than one from the Mlecha culture. I mean, you have to recognize that. That intelligence means you can tell the difference. You know? It's like that. Who complains when a religious person like that, you know, is wearing something different? Like, you know, how do you tell that, you know, they have that little, you know, white collar, you know, like that. They have a different collar that they wear. Or if they're more serious and they have those robes and all that, they wear the little cat hats, you know, like that. And, you know, like that. Huh? Yeah, they're crosses. There's something you can tell. And so these are not things that people are against. You know, not at all. So and just because they have that, is there the thing that if I go to church and the priest giving the lecture, if he wears his kind of religious clothes, I'll be put off because then he's actually saying subtly that you have to dress like this to live with us. No. It's just he's religious. He does that. I'm not. I don't. So all these things, just the thing is, but we want the same status as a Brahmin. We want the same status as a preacher, as a leader, as all that. But to maintain all our material attachments, even after hearing so many instructions on matter. You know what I'm saying? So that's just cheating. It's just straight up front cheating. So we have to be very, very careful about this. So the point is that you're attached, you don't want to wear, don't. Who cares? But don't say it's the same. Because it's due to apatis, it's due to attachment. That's why it's going on. It's not preaching. Like that. Means honest people don't mind that religious people dress in bed sheets. They have absolutely no problem with it. And most common people don't have a problem with it. Who has a problem with it? Middle class, so-called educated, higher educated people that consider themselves a little bit liberal and all that and that, and tend to be a bit atheistic. They have a problem. But that's why we say, you deal with the innocent, and the ones who are inimical, you don't worry about them. You can't. And so now we take the inimical and make them the standard, and then we change everything else? That's backwards. So that's the problem. So it's not a controversy. People make controversy. There is no controversy. Not amongst the Vaishnava community. Not amongst the sampradayas. Not amongst those who understand all the traditions and all that. You know, and they'll say, oh, the Muslims, this and that. Muslims didn't introduce a dhoti. What did they ride? When they came in here on their little horses, what were they wearing? I'm just saying, Mughals weren't wearing dhotis when they came here. They weren't sitting.
They were wearing this long kurtas up to there.
Yeah, like that. And so then, you know, it's
they
just.
Introduced the kurta, kamis.
Yeah, and so then that's it.
Yeah, the long kurta.
Yeah, so that's just it. Saying it's that. But that's when they come from that side. If you come from Genghis's side, then, you know, it's a little less.
Because it's cold.
Yeah.
Wearing serious clothes.
Yeah, yeah.
And pants.
When they come down here, then it
pants
comes like this.
Pants were made from leather.
Yeah, leather. Yeah. If anything else, the coat was made. Everything was made.
Yeah.
Basically, if it was still moving, they weren't wearing it. But as soon as the horse died, they were wearing it.
And probably they never washed it.
Of course they never washed it. Come on. I mean, it's like Hell's Angels are nothing compared to these guys. And Hell's Angels don't wash their pants. So, I mean, why are these guys going to wash their pants? You know, it's like, you know. And that's the first thing. That means when they come riding in, the first thing is who doesn't die from the smell, then, you know, okay, then we fight with them. You know, that, you know, so. Yeah. Yeah, okay, all these things aside. So the point is, there is no controversy. We can make it into a controversy. We say, oh, but it's a big controversy. It isn't. There is no controversy. All these things that we make into issues aren't issues. They may be issues for us personally. If it's a doubt, that's fine. You can deal with it. But the problem is that if it's a misgiving, it means you explain what it is, and no, but this, that, like, they just don't want to. That's a misgiving. So that's based on karma and jnana. And basically it goes back to, you know, if you don't really know the processes, it's based on envy and attachment. So envious of other cultures, otherwise, you know, how you say, known as xenophobia, or you're attached. Means just you want to enjoy in this way. This is your identity. You want to be seen in this way. You can't be seen in any other way. And it works with people who are like you, because most cultured people of the world do not appreciate shorts and t-shirts and flip-flops. They will consider you not well-dressed for anything but like in, you know, doing work in the bathroom or stuff like that. Beach, yeah, you can wear it on the beach, but as soon as you leave the beach, you're not wearing that. You know, you're wearing, you know, gaunt Ralph Lauren, something like that. No? So this idea that, no, that's what we wear sitting on the Vyasasan and moving around, that's just low class. I mean, just low class, no culture. Nothing. So it's not Western. It's low-class Western of a particular group. Only a certain group wears this. Like that. You find others, they wear different. They'll wear their pants, their shoes, their suits, their things, nice clothes. You know, they're saying, oh, it's casual. That's not casual. That's not casual. Ralph Lauren, that's casual. You know, so shell out, you know, $3,000-$5,000, put that on, that's casual. So therefore, there is no controversy. People with nothing better to do make these controversies because of attachment, because of doubts and misgivings, specifically misgivings. So, therefore, what to do? It's sad. So, as Prabhupada says, to meet the public, to do these things, you know, we don't have a problem that you change like that. And Prabhupada, the thing was, anyone except sannyasis, they could change into the clothes. Sannyasis never change. So, like Prabhupada, going into Singapore, he just wouldn't. So it's not a standard, you know, like that. But the point is, if you have to, then you wear. But it's because of that. But these are people are saying, no, because of it's us, we can't wear these other things. That's the exact opposite of what Srila Prabhupada is saying. So they can't say, see, Prabhupada says here. That's not what he says. And he also says, up-to-date American gentlemen. I haven't seen one of them up-to-date or gentlemen. Is that okay?
Mark. Another question, not related.
Not related, okay.
I was asked today. We speak about when the jivas come back into Mahavishnu with the pralaya. They were different.
Yeah, okay. Slightly different. Okay. We dealt with the coming out one. What about the going back? Okay.
We say, you know, when they didn't get liberation or anything, when Lord Brahma, his life finishes.
Right.
All the jivas come back, so it kind
right.
of winds up their creation.
Yes.
Then the jivas, they stay in the Mahavishnu, inside his body, until the next one unfolds.
Yeah.
So the question is, if they get, because they, we say that those who got in touch with the Lord, they get purified and everything. So being
in Mahavishnu, are we not purified? Why aren't we purified?
No, but why? What's the process when they get out from Mahavishnu? Can they still decide what to do, or because of their karma, they will be forced to do whatever is?
Now the point is that even when your karma is there, at every moment you have the independence to choose what you want to do. But people, because of their desire, they go with what the karma is offering, as long as it's good. If it's bad, then they generally complain. If it's good, they don't complain. See, the point is Paramatma is living in the heart with you. So you're always with. There's no point where the jiva is never with the Lord. When the jiva leaves the spiritual position, comes to the material, the Lord comes with him. Like that. So he's with him there. You know, in other words, when he's with Mahavishnu, he breathes out. then the jivas are in Garbhodaksha Vishnu in the lotus, and then like that, then they come out, then Krishna is with them as Paramatma. So there's never a time when the jivas aren't with Krishna. It's just that they're not interested because they have other identities. Like that. Does that make sense? So it's always that. You always have that free will. Just people will say, oh, this situation is tough, I can't do. You know, what could I do? It is because you have a certain values and all that. Yes, of course you're going to go. That's what it means by you're going to, it naturally unfolds. But at any point you can decide, why am I doing this? You know? Does that make sense? Yeah. Like that. You can change. But then what you change to, that will also happen. You know, it's like that one, there was something like, where guy's going, he's stuck in traffic. Like that, you know, the regular, I don't know where it was, but probably, you know, like Los Angeles traffic. You just get stuck there for hours, you know, and it's every day. So this guy just freaks out. Just gets out of his car, walks off, you know, and then he starts going and walking. I go, maybe he's walking home. I don't know where he's walking. And all these things, crazy things start happening.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah. They still have it happening all this time. And after a while, then the police department notices it's moving in a direction. It started at one place, and it's moving in a direction. And they connected it. It must be the same guy that, you know, left his car on the highway. You know? Like that. And so he could have just stayed in his car like everybody else, and when this traffic moved, he moves. But he didn't. He decided to do something else. And then when he gets to the next day, he decides to do what he wants to do. And everything he does is exact opposite of what he normally do. And so you have free will at every moment to do whatever you like. You know, because there's this thing, oh, are we being forced and this and that. But that's just being pointed out that that's how, what we call doing what we want to do is the material modes of nature. But we want to know, no, I'm doing this on my own, there's no modes. Because what? I'm the controller. Right? Because then if I'm in control, I'll enjoy more. So if I'm controlled, I won't enjoy. You know, so why can't I control? Why not? No, why don't we surrender to Krishna? That's how you will enjoy. Because we're not the controller and the joy. Krishna's the enjoyer. So when we surrender to Krishna, then being under his shelter, that's when the jiva becomes happy. But there's still this idea that, no, I can, you know what I'm saying? So there's just these certain topics that come up that are due to attachment, due to misgivings. And so... It's the same categories. It just comes up at different time with different people. You know, you might answer it with one, it moves on, but then at some other time it'll come up again from someone else. So it's always, you know, it's the standard questions. I think Bhakti Churumaraj one time tried to deal with all the issues. He made this little book called Prabhupada on the Issues. Like that, and just what all the issues are. He just quotes from Prabhupada and the books and all that, and tried to clear everything. You know, because I guess he got tired of dealing with it. Each guy, read the book.
Is it still available?
I'm not sure, but you could look at it.
Should have been translated
into
Russian.
Yeah.
Or compiled something like that.
Yeah, but that was done back in, I think, the 80s. I think he wrote it.
We have different issues.
Yeah, there are different issues then.
Maharaj, actually, everything depends on our designation.
Yes, our designation.
Because if we forget that we are servants of Krishna, we want to be master in the world.
Yes, yes.
And misgiving us.
Yes, because it's always going to come up, and different people have different ways they want to control and enjoy. Therefore, they'll have different attitudes. There's different issues.
Yes.
And then according to us, according to our conditioning, then we will gravitate around those issues.
Yes.
You know, and mostly it'll be around this but or that. But there's something, yeah, I like something from here. Most people will be happy here, but no, a little bit from there. And that one will have a little bit from here. And so you'll get all these nice mixes. You know. Oh, yeah, coming out. I mean, look at this. This is like... It's like Christmas, you know, for these guys.
Yeah, it's totally beautiful.
I was just waiting for it to stop.
Means
they don't now, but after a while, then their wings fall off and they get a little tired. Then
patience.
Then you'll come back tomorrow. It'll be about this fat. There's this little feet going like this. You can't even move. Right? Yeah.
There's our many students.
Huh?
Many students in the class.
Yeah, yeah. I see it's also light colored, so it's Brahminical. He's a tick-ticky for Brahmins. He's they're all Brahmins. But you see different colors, they're tick-tickies for different people. Like you see there's the light ones like this, then you have the ones that are kind of like brown and kind of mockley colored, like that. It may also be just the stage in their life, but you see some of them are like this, always very light. And the other ones that are darker like that. Some of them are like a dark gray.
And it means they are
Brahminical. Yeah, because they tick to confirm things. It means Brahmins become tick-tickies.
If?
Not just anybody.
Oh.
Not your regular guy off the street can't become a tick-tickie. Come on, you know, he'll just say anything he likes, you know. You know, it's like, you know, if it was just like, you know, a regular guy, then, you know, like you burp really loudly, then they go tick, tick, tick. Yeah, that's right. You know? So, no, you have to say something. True. Yeah, these guys are, okay, that's the guy to go for. Yeah, over there, that guy. He'll eventually get it. Okay, now he's, I think he spotted that guy. Okay. 2:14:6-8. But it's funny, you know, certain purports, you know what's going to come up. Right? You know, as soon as it says that, because he has a whole yatra where he has to answer these things. So it's like, you know, as soon as they come up, then okay. Two 14:6-8. Maharaj Prataparudra was so humble that with folded hands he first took permission from all the devotees. Cat?
No, he was.
Too big.
No, not too big. They got a big mouth. Yeah, yeah. No, it's no, it's that's bite size, these guys.
Life circle.
Yes. Sitting there with wings sticking out of his mouth.
Very Brahminical picture.
Yeah, yeah. Then, with great courage, he fell down and touched the lotus feet of the Lord. As Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu lay on the raised platform with his eyes closed in ecstatic love and emotion, the king very expertly began to massage his legs.
Mm-hmm. Right, well, so very. At this point, he's unconscious, right?
No, he says, eyes closed in ecstatic love and emotion. So he's not unconscious, he's just absorbed. But the point is Krishna is simultaneously Mugdhata and Sarvajna. That's dealt with in Raghumartin Chandika. That even though Krishna is absorbed with the gopis and this and that and completely and know, you know, like this, at the same time as he does know what goes on everywhere. It's just a matter of whether he decides this and that. So it's not that this happened and the Lord didn't know about it. You know, the Lord has what he's doing and it works out because he's performing human pastimes. So it'll work. But here it says also very expertly began to massage because they know all these sciences and that. You know, like we see the kings, they know all the different arts and all the different things like that. So they're going to, you know, he knows these and so he can use them very nicely like that.
Next,
yeah. Okay. The king began to recite verses about the Rasalila from Srimad Bhagavatam. He recited the chapter beginning with the words Jayati Te Dikam. Srila Prabhupada, these verses from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 31, constitute what is known as Gopi Gita. 2:14:9-16. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard these verses, he was pleased beyond limits. And he said again and again, go on reciting, go on reciting. As soon as the king recited the verse beginning with the words, Tava Katamritam, the Lord arose in ecstatic love and embraced him. Upon hearing the words recited by the king, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you have given me invaluable gems, but I have nothing to give you in return. Therefore, I am simply embracing you. After saying this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to recite the same verse again and again. Both the king and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were trembling, and tears were flowing from their eyes. My Lord, the nectar of your words and the descriptions of your activities are the life and soul of those who are always aggrieved in this material world. These narrations are transmitted by exalted personalities, and they eradicate all sinful reactions. Whoever hears these narrations attains all good fortune. These narrations are broadcast all over the world and are filled with spiritual power. Those who spread the message of Godhead are certainly the most munificent welfare workers. Right? So now, this has been being said by the king.
Yes.
Right? You can say, okay, Rupa Goswami says this. Yeah, he's a sadhu sitting under a tree. This is a king. And he's not a small king. He's a pretty big king. His influence is quite great. You know? And so, you know, he knows all about these things. He performs all these things and like that. So he's saying this is the best thing. Footnote 10. This verse is Srimad Bhagavatam 10:31-9. After reciting this verse, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately embraced the king and cried, "You are the most munificent. You are the most munificent." At this point, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not know who the king was. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy was aroused because of the king's previous service. Therefore, without even asking who he was, the Lord immediately bestowed his mercy upon him. How powerful is the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Without even inquiring about the king, the Lord made everything successful. Right? Because now he's dressed as a Vaishnava and this and that. Before he's as a king, so it's very obvious, then you have that materialistic element that you want to be very careful about. But here...
He didn't know who he was. He knew who he
was. Yes, but the point is that that doesn't matter. It means knowing who he is doesn't matter.
Doesn't make any difference.
No. Yeah. But he's also just seeing he's dressed as a Vaishnav, he's dealing with him as a Vaishnav. Because that's the point, is that even though Maharaj Pratyaprabhu is a devotee, but because of the aspect of, his position, then one has to be very careful. You know, and so you just see is only a few devotees are involved with the king. Right? So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Kashishwar, Kashi Mishra, Ramananda Rai,
Gopinath
Acharya. Yeah, these four are the only ones that directly deal with them personally. Like that, you know, so they have their position, but you have to still be very careful. But they're all householders. You know, and that's their occupation as Brahmins. They assist the king. And so it's very standard. Srila Prabhupada. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy is so powerful that it acts automatically. If a person renders loving service to Krishna, it never goes in vain. It is recorded in a spiritual account, and in due time it will fructify. Right, so whatever you do, it's recorded. Right? So then that devotional service is never lost. Right? It's recorded, and then it will fructify, which means it will develop love of God. Right? This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 2:40. Nehabik rama nashosti pratyavayo navidyate swapam apyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayata. In this endeavor, there is no loss or diminution. And a little advancement on this path can protect one from the most dangerous type of fear. Right? So a little of everything, it's all very nice like that. And so that's the point, is that when the attitude is right, that point of trying to serve the Lord and all that, then everything moves together very nicely. Right? So we even see here, is the point is the king is giving up upadis.
Yes.
Right? You know, he's a big king, but he just takes the dress of the Vaishnava. Like that. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yes.
When a devotee performs sadhana and practices devotional service, it's all recorded.
Yes, it's all recorded.
But the devotee doesn't know when the mercy will come, how it will come.
No.
And therefore it requires, you know, patience, confidence, faith.
Yes, but that's one of the those are symptoms of someone on the platform of bhava. He has that full faith that, you know, he's serving Krishna will take care. It's not karma. It's just Krishna's a wonderful person, full of all good qualities, so why won't he reciprocate? So the point is he can only reciprocate as we surrender. So if we see he doesn't appear to be interacting much, that's because we don't have the qualifications. The point is we're the weak link, not Krishna, not devotional service. Like that. Not the holy name, not the processes, all these things. We're the weak link. So as we see, you know, even Narad Muni in his previous birth, then because of his attachment to Gyan and renunciation, these aspects, because he was very, you know, detached and all that, then he heard the Lord's voice, which inspired him, but then he didn't hear it again. So he's always searching, always hoping. And then from that, then he became Narad Muni. So that's the thing, one has to give up these upadis. Even, that's why it says even the pious things, you know. So on one side it said, oh, you know, if we're Westerners and that, but then others are talking about, you know, being good, being nice, and we have to do, you know, mundane welfare stuff, and, you know, oh, raise people to the mode of goodness, not everybody can get to the pure bhakti, as if they are in a position to even raise themselves to pure goodness, I mean to goodness. Like that. And so then you come up with all these different kinds of upadis, attachments, and ways to distract us. And so because of those, then it will slow down our progress. But whatever we are doing nicely, and that we're chanting nicely, or taking prasad, or serving the devotees, or the deities, or then all those, that's, as we said, that's all recorded. That's going to be there. It will give fruit. But it's just, there's this little thing you have to, you know, it's like that, what do you call it? That washing the pot by Jamuna Devi at her sister's wedding. Yeah. Remember, she wasn't a devotee, but she was a sister, so she came. Like that. And so then Prabhupada says, okay, the girl's side of the family has to make the arrangements. You know, so, you know, he's cooking, so she had to help in the kitchen. So then she was handed this, you know, rather large pot, cooking pot, that someone had burnt milk in. And I think then, those days, the only place to wash the pot was in the bathtub. Like that. So, you know, she went to wash it. She was like, for like 45 minutes scrubbing it. She brought it back. Oh, very nice. Because most of it was shiny. Can you take care of this little spot here? Like that. So she took it back and again, like that. You know, it's completely, you know, up the elbows, knees, and right in there. And that, and I think after two or three times, then it was, then probably, perfect. And then take it into the kitchen. So everything's good. But then there's this little part here. So that's the thing, is that everything's good, but there might be that little attachment or this or that. And so, yes, that will go away soon. And so we're inspired, and we're not worried that people may have these little things and this and that. But on the previous thing we're discussing, but when they make a philosophy to maintain that and keep that, and in fact, because I don't want to be the idiot doing it myself, I make a philosophy so others do it, and then I'll feel comfortable. See, we're all doing it. What are you guys doing, you know? And so that's just against devotional service. It has nothing to do with devotional service. It's not sincere. But if we have an attachment, and that you know, work in those areas that we are very inspired in devotional service, and then those areas will move forward. Because it means if you can't work in one area, you work in another area. And you get steady and all that. And then with time, this other one will become very small and go away. You know, I mean, if the whole, you know, material creation, the whole Mahat Tattva can shrink down to the size of a calf's hoofprint, why can't our attachment to whatever it is, you know, be shrunk? It will go away. But there has to be that humility. There has to be that honesty that it's an attachment. It's not all right. But we have to be real. This is where I am. So this is what I'm doing. And if you say like that, who has a problem with it? Right? Like that. But if it's about pride and this, and I'm as good as you, and this, it's just all the modern mentalities. And so then it has no value. It will just be a stumbling block. Right? So whatever one does, it won't be lost. It won't be lost. Even these kind of attachments we're talking to, they won't destroy the process. Right? But you know, you might be rewarded accordingly. Which you want to watch out for. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.